Now, a werewolf working for king and country. Episode 20. Werewolf the podcast. Torture on the streets of Kabul. They swung out into the busy streets and the screaming horns of traffic in Kabul. We flew through the noisy city in convoy, joined by two slick black SUVs with more special army soldiers in both of them. I know they're not called special army soldiers, but since watching Ricky Gervais's extras, there's no other way in which I can think of them. One of the nice shiny black cars went behind and one in front of the van. I love the special army soldiers. They often had bigger egos than me, and when faced with something like me, they could not cope. My training in Hereford meant that they all knew me and hated me, but in a very respectful manner. As the world's most elite force, they were used to being the most dangerous things about, typically. Sadly, when I was in the area, they weren't that anymore. They weren't really even a close second. We drove for some time in silence to get to some base or place or whatever to meet the chief and interrogate this great insurgent leader. Whatever one of those is, I sat back sensing and drinking in the sensations offered by this city. Each place in the world smelled and felt different, and my senses, as evolved as they were, added colours and highlights, textures and details that an average person would never experience. That's because I'm a fucking werewolf. My posit Fenrir was very bored. He was pacing up and down the back of the van, fed up with the constant travelling and the expectations my new owners placed on me. As the journey time grew, I also got bored, and I eventually lay my head back and listened to my music, staring directly into the rearview mirror that reflected the image of the driver's shaded eyes. His awareness constantly flicked to my stare. Even covered in sunglasses, I could feel the discomfort. I was a beast, so I would act like one. In truth, I was a bullying dickhead, but you know, when the shoe fits, you should wear it and be proud of the label, unless the label says Gola. Although, I can actually make Gola look cool, I reckon. The situation that I was being brought into was the usual. They tended to bring me in when things were not going their way. Normally it was for someone they tried all the usual processes with. They had done all they could to extract the information required. It was always incredible that I would be called in, because I knew that those interrogated had to go through lots of shit before they even met me. If they could get through that, then they were very tough cookies. I mean, modern drugs and modern techniques are really hard to beat, but if they're in a rush or those techniques had not succeeded, they always had the option of me. The money I was paid for these little excursions was good, and I would spend a few days off in Dubai on my way home. A werewolf in a desert, a strange place for me, but it had its distractions and advantages. This time I would be there for the full moon. I would be in the desert on the full moon. That was going to be wild. We drove through three checkpoints where the dicks that were driving me were asked for ID by the dicks on security. But although the dicks registered my presence, they never asked my dicks for my ID or even spoke to me for my ID. All part of the deal, apparently. Simple men stay scared if they never get to know you. So they were told not to bother the weirdo. If they spoke to me or got to know me slightly, they might think I was a normal human being, which apparently would be bad. So I was told to stay quiet and look mean. I could do the quiet bit, but I always looked good, so I was not great at the looking mean bit. The van ran through the compound gate and pulled up outside the big concrete blocky building in a shower of dust and gravel. The dicks got out of the van and I was released from my air-conditioned prison into the hot noonday sun. The chief, who was now my appropriately named handler, was waiting on the entrance steps, and he walked out and greeted me. Not a friendly greeting, just a greeting. He shook my hand. Welcome, Will. We need some of your special expertise here today. This guy is a real hard-ass. I smiled and nodded, but didn't speak. And as he turned to walk back into the building, I followed him a pace or two behind, not out of any kind of deference or respect for him, but just so I didn't have to get involved in any small talk conversations. I mean, what do you talk about in Kabul? The fucking weather. I mean, it's hot. That's it. It's hot. I felt eyes on me in the compound and located the three snipers with large caliber rifles that sighted on me. Fenrir laughed in my head. "They're a little insecure in this relationship, huh?" he said. It was always reassuring that they did the sniper thing. I often wondered if it was for the benefit of the troops in the compound to make me out to be this dangerous individual. I hope not. I hope it was all about me being that dangerous individual, really. The double front doors of the building swished apart, and the coolness of the air-conditioned office was welcomed after only a few minutes in the sun. We passed an empty reception and walked through what were usually busy offices. I could see by the desk contents and the smells that hung in the still-boiled air that this place had housed about 30 sweaty people just a few minutes ago. Obviously, these offices had been cleared not for my benefit, but for their usual incumbent's safety, or maybe I was a secret they did not want to share. I don't know. But I was a bit like the Queen in a way, you know, the commonly held theory that the Queen must think that the world smells like fresh paint because it's just been painted wherever she goes. Well, it's not fresh paint for me. It was that everywhere I went was empty, even though I could sense that it was not normally the case. I was led into an interrogation room at the back of the building. All the CCTV cameras were off and covered by bags. A side door to a room was opened, and inside was a slightly bloody man sitting across from two soldiers who stood before him with very big guns. He looked like and was dressed like a well-off local man. He was maybe early 40s in age with very nasty body odour. Looking at the soldiers, I was always amused by the level of overkill in these situations. Two big, body-armoured, butch American Marines with bulldog faces were definitely not needed for this. You can tell American Marines, you just can. They weirdly had British-issue SA-80s in their hands, but what did they think he was, a fucking werewolf? The man was shackled to a table by his wrists. All the furniture in the room was metal and bolted to the ground, as usual. He looked me up and down and nodded at the chief and said in excellent Queen's English, "Ah, I see we have the next course. We have a real interrogator, maybe, unlike the last fool." I loved this guy's bravado. The chief smiled at the man and offered his hand to be shaken by the shackled hands of the prisoner. "Hello, I'm the chief. I'm the guy they bring in when someone is hard nut to crack. This man is Will, and he's the nutcracker." The man laughed in response. "Very frightening. Some middle-class spoiled ex-special forces torturer. I think that we should be okay, as I've told the others I have no valuable information to give you, so you waste your time. Have a good day, and it was nice to meet you." He smiled. I really liked him. He had that charisma and a kind of confidence, you know, you seldom see. The chief nodded and let out a sigh. "Well, we'll see about that." Then he turned and nodded at me and went to leave the room. He stopped briefly at the door to say a few words loud enough to be audible to me. "Will, make him want to talk. Maybe you can introduce yourself in your natural aspect, Owen, and please try and keep this one alive and in a state where he can talk, please. We must learn what he knows." He smiled at me and winked, and then winked at the prisoner while tipping his cap. "Good luck, Abdul," he said, and turned to whistle a few bars of some country music song I sort of half recognised. "I'm not Abdul. He is my uncle," the man shouted at the chief with laughter. The two guards dropped in behind the chief as he wandered down the corridor. The door had been locked from the outside as they went, leaving me in there with the charming terrorist. The man just now stared. He seemed incredibly interested in what I would do. "So, Will, what's the next step?" he asked. "Do you beat me up or something? I'm always interested in new techniques." I ignored him and just started to get undressed, slowly unbuttoning my shirt and keeping eye contact with a smile. "Ah," he said, "you mean to sodomize me and break me by banging me? I went to public school. My friend, I have a passion for rough man sex. I only ask that you spit a little so that it's not too bloody for me," he laughed. I smiled at him in response, but continued to remove my trousers and my underpants. Eventually, I stood before him naked. Even as an ordinary man, I knew I was built very impressively, but what would happen next would be the fun bit. I looked over at my posset, who sat in the corner, and nodded at him. We flowed into each other, and I became the beast. My body grew, and I ducked as my head touched the ceiling. My outstretched arms reached to either wall. The black fur of my swathing pelt absorbed the light in the room. My eyes flashed, and I roared a guttural roar that made the man sit back in his chair and grip onto the very edge of the table. In a heartfelt response, he started a haunting, sibilant scream. It came from his deepest, darkest place. His entire body was building it into a crescendo of sorts. It was pleasing, and it took some time, but the man eventually went silent. He was now exhausted and spent, staring silently in disbelief at what he saw, tears in his eyes. Terror issued from his very scared little terrorist body. His system had reacted badly to the experience. Every bit of monkey DNA in him had tried to crawl away from me, and he cringed and shrunk into the steel chair. I walked to the table, my bestial head lowering down to his, and I reached out and touched his scalp with a clawed hand. He recoiled. Well, he tried to recoil, closing his eyes and mumbling a prayer in a language I did not recognize. I held his head so that he faced me, and I sniffed and growled with my nose gently touching his face as he closed his eyes. It was as though he thought that I would not be there if he could not see me. Such a stupid thing to do, and so many fucking people do it. He had pooped himself and weed himself, again a common reaction. His body had emptied its digestive and urinary tracts of anything that it did not need at this moment. He shivered and moaned. It would be some time before this oh so brave man would be able to make sense again to anyone. He never had and could never have expected to meet something like me. This was much more than any person could deal with, and he was already broken. It had been a minute's work for me, and it was just what was needed. I let the posit bleed from me as I renewed my human form. Again I stood before him, the man. I smiled at him once more, arms outspread, presenting myself to him, the mere mortal. The man's head was dropped and he was crying into his hands. A pool of tears formed on the table. I slowly put my clothes back on, just keeping an eye on him. He sniffed and looked up. "What? What are you?" he asked. I'm a demon, my friend. The god you hold in such high esteem has sold you out to the infidel. You've displeased him, so you're here in your own little hell." I lied. "There are men who are going to come in here after I've left. You will speak to those men, and you will give them all the information that they seek. If you do this to an acceptable standard, you may get saved, my friend. If not, you and your family will be mine. I will kill all you love. Then I will devour their souls, and they will be tortured for all time. Life sometimes sucks, huh? Well, your death will be even worse." It was brazen nonsense to tell him, but he seemed to genuinely believe that I was sane, and why would he not? A pitch black dog demon had just come forth and shown itself to him. What have I done to displease my god so much? Why would he send you to do this? Does he not believe in the Mullah's cause?" he asked. I couldn't think of a reply, and to be honest, wasn't really bothered to explore this story any further, but I felt I had to say something. "I have no idea, really. I just follow orders," was my rubbish but truthful reply. I slowly got redressed before turning towards him with a vicious smile. "Do you understand what I'm asking?" He nodded at me, mouth open, eyes still glistening. I smiled and patted him on the head. I gave him a final wink, just like the chief had given me. Then I knocked on the door. Locks opened and I was greeted smiling by the man himself. He raised his eyebrows. "A new record, Will," he whispered. I returned a smile and nodded, and I shook his proffered hand and made my way back to the front door. My posit followed in tow. On my way out, I passed two interrogators as they made their way to the room in which I'd just been. They maintained cool exteriors, but the stress poured from their respective bodies on seeing me. They'd heard the noises from the room and obviously knew what I was, and they didn't like that one bit. I smiled and nodded at them, and they gave no response as per their orders. A little rude, I thought, as I'd just done their fucking jobs for them. That's the end of the episode. If you want to support the show, there's a support the show link down in the description. That'd be really nice. Other than that, like you lots. Have a good day. Bye.